And today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And then we'll jump down to verse 27 through 32. Man. So I'm just going to do my best this morning and see how my voice does. And that reminds me, we forgot for the joy that we have a joy that someone is going to represent their class on the homecoming basketball court here in a few weeks. You almost got away with it, but I just remembered it. Yeah. Like I said this week, he won't say it next week when he does announcements because he leaves his name out when he's on the bulletin. All right. So this is Luke chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 1. And so we'll look at the first disciples. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping to one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, his owner, to pitch it out in the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners another boat, and soon both boats were beginning filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me, for I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as with others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now on you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. And then jumping down to verse 27, later, as Jesus left town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as a guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and their guests also ate with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not called not to those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So now Jesus is beginning his ministry, and the past 3 weeks we see him get baptized, and the Heavenly Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, and in whom I well please." And last week, Jesus went away up into the wilderness to pray and fast, to be with his Father. And the old devil came in and gave him a hard time. And now Jesus is starting his ministry. And so here he is in Capernaum, and he's preaching. And he's preaching along the seashore. Now, if you go to the land of Israel, the mountains kind of surround the Sea of Galilee. And so it makes this for this natural amphitheater, which means that if you're on the shore there, you get to speak in a normal voice, and it kind of just echoes around where everybody can hear you. You don't have to have a microphone, okay? It's kind of like when you go to an auditorium. Auditoriums, unless it's at Central, theoretically, you speak on the stage, and it kind of echoes around. Now, Central, you have to have a microphone. It won't work. Now, you go in the library, it just echoes all over the place, right, Clinton? But in the auditorium, the one place you're supposed to hear, you have to have a microphone, you know? And so you know, if you've ever been to amphitheater, how the speaker is here and it's kind of built up so the sound surrounds. Well, that's what happens in this area. And you can be at the Sea of Galilee on the seashore and speaking, and people can hear you on top of the hills because it's just this natural sound effect. And so here's all these people. So Jesus knows he needs some space here. And so, got these fishermen washing their nets. And so he just steps in the boat there and says, Simon, push me out a little bit. I need to speak to my people here. So Simon pushes the boat out a tad bit. Jesus sits down and starts teaching. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what he speaks on, but I'm sure he is about the kingdom of God. And maybe on this occasion, he told the parable about the great fish and net, how the kingdom of God is like a great net cast out in the ocean and it's brought in, and some of the fish are kept and some of the fish are tossed into the fire, you know. And so he taught them there. And then when he got finished speaking, he says to them, they caught old Simon by surprise. Now, let's go out where it's deeper. Let down your nets, catch some fish. And Simon says, now, Master, we worked all last night doing that. In other words, he says, I'm tired and I'm hungry. I'm ready to go home. And we just got done cleaning our nets when you showed up. But Jesus just kind of looked at Simon, and Peter said, but Master, that's what you want. We'll do it, you know. And I think that reflects a great deal of humility on Peter's part. I wonder how many of us would be that humble if a carpenter came up to Central and told me how to organize my books. How would I take that? Or Herb, how would you feel if the carpenter showed up at the hospital and told you how to run your hospital? Would you appreciate that, or you tell him to go on with his hammer and nails and do his thing? Or maybe the carpenter showed up at the dairy farm and told you how to milk your cows. You'd be like, look, man, I already milked the cows. They're dry. Leave me alone, you know. But Simon, though, had enough humility and said, well, you know, we'll do this. And maybe he thought, well, this is a wild goose chase. Or he thought, well, Jesus did heal my mother-in-law a few days ago, so we'll do a favor. Maybe he can catch a fish or two. And so he goes out. And doesn't say so. I'm imagining his brother Andrew was in the boat with him. The boat, you know, on the seashore there, his partners, James and John, they're probably wondering, well, what are they doing, you know? We're ready to go home. We're tired. Let's get out here and call this a day. Well, they let down their nets. And I can imagine old Peter just sitting down like, well, at least I might take a little nap. You know, nothing's going to happen. And maybe this is seeing the movie Jaws one time too many, but I just imagine all once the boat just went. And Peter looked at Andrew and like, what was that? And then he realized we got something in the net. But it wasn't Jaws. It was a whole bunch of fish. So they start pulling the fish in. And then we got a problem. We're getting so many fish in, we're going to sink. We'll be with the fish. Instead of being with the fish in the boat's going to be in the ocean with the fish, right? And so they call out to James and John and said, you know, hey, buddies, we need some help. Come over here and help us out. So James and John come over, and their boat gets filled up, and they're beginning to sink as well. You know, now, for a fisherman, that's a good problem to have, right? As long as we get out at the shore, we're in good shape. They fished all night, didn't catch anything. Then their little carpenter buddy says, let's go fishing. They drop the nets in, and then there we go. We're about to lose two boats if we don't make it ashore in time. And it says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. There was something about this event that just caught Simon's attention. Now, earlier in Luke's gospel, it talks about how he healed Simon's mother-in-law, and he preaches this sermon. But when this event happens, it's like a light bulb clicks on Peter's head. This Jesus is different. He's just not just a person with a healing touch that can lay hands and heal people. Or he's not just a really good speaker and has that charisma where he can folks gather around and he can talk to them for hours from the boat and keep their attention and teach them about the kingdom of God. This man has something about him to where if he puts the nets out in the ocean, they come up full. And because of that, he says, Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. And I'm sure you may remember the story of how the prophet Isaiah got called in that sixth chapter of Isaiah when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, and his robe, his train filled the sanctuary. And talk about the angels, the heavenly beings, were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And what did Isaiah say? He said, "Woe to me, for I am an unclean man, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, and my eyes have beheld the Lord." There is something very humbling when you get in the presence of God and see his glory and majesty. And Simon was a good guy. He went to the synagogue and he prayed. And like a lot of us, he thought, "I'm a good man." But then when he met Jesus, he realized, you know, this is true holiness right here. We don't get to see it very often in our world, but this is true holiness. And he was embarrassed. He's like, "Lord, no, you need to get away from me. I'm an unclean man." And what did Jesus say to Simon? "Don't be afraid." No, that's a word God tells his people a lot of times throughout the scriptures. Don't be afraid. I remember in John, the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, whether it's John the Apostle or someone else, maybe called, he saw Jesus, he felt down as though he was dead because he was so in awe of Jesus' glory and holiness. And what did Jesus do? He put his hand on him and said, "Don't be afraid, for I have come." That is still Jesus' message to his people, not to be afraid. This idea that you come to church and hear a sermon and you get scared and you, no, that's the wrong sermon. Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to know that he loves you. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. No, the Lord's my shepherd. I will fear no evil. And so what Jesus does, he gives old Simon a new job description. "Simon, from now on, you'll be fishing for people." "And there, Simon, I got you a new job. No longer you're going to be out here in the ocean throwing out your nets trying to catch fish. I want you to go out and start catching people. You're going to be my disciples." And so thus Jesus rounds up Simon and Andrew and James and John, four fishermen. And so folks ask me, you know, Jesus had a sense of humor. I'm like, well, he had four fishermen for buddies. I think that tells you enough right there. Now, that one makes sense. But then in verse 27, we get a very unlikely candidate. Later, as Jesus left town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Now, Levi was a mess. I'm sure none of you know anyone named Levi who's a mess, but I'll just leave that here with you here. No. Now, Levi, that's a name, no, that has to do with a priestly tribe in Israel. But he's not out fishing. He's out collecting taxes. He's working for the IRS. And as I mentioned during my sermon about John the Baptist, when the tax collectors came to him and said, "What do we need to do?" John the Baptist said, "We'll no collect the taxes, but don't collect any extra." Because back then, the tax collectors would charge you your taxes, and then they would charge you some extra. And they live very nicely. And people did not appreciate having to pay extra taxes to keep them in their lifestyle. So not only were they getting a salary from the government, they would charge you extra in your taxes. And I thought, I wonder if Levi, you know, being in town there, he heard about this big old catch of fish and thought, well now, you know, sounds like Peter and Andrew, James and John, this Jesus guy, they hit the jackpot this week. You know, they got a lot of fish. They got a big old paycheck, right? So that's the case. I'm going to give them some W-2 forms, get my taxes. Yeah. So there he is in his tax collector's booth, and Jesus walks up. But then Levi gets surprised. Levi's probably thinking, "I'm going to collect some taxes off of Jesus." But instead, Jesus collects a tax collector off of Levi. He says, "Follow me and be my disciple." And so Levi got up and left everything to follow him. Now imagine that. You're in the IRS office. You're working there, and there's your boss there, Mr. Levi. And he's got all these tax forms, and he's bringing in the money. Cha-ching. The carpenter guy comes in with his four fisher buddies and says, "Levi, follow me." "All right." And he just ups and walks out the door. I mean, who does that? No. But there was something about this Jesus that when he called Levi, Levi walked away from that profitable job with all its money to follow Jesus. And then we get this story about how Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. So again, Levi's done well for himself. He's got a big old house, lots of room. So he calls up Michael's, tell him to bring over a big bunch of food for a banquet. Jesus is going to be his guest of honor. And see, in those times, if you were wealthy, you would hold a banquet and you would invite a guest speaker to speak to your audience, okay? No, you see that kind of like the Last Supper where someone provides the meal and Jesus is the speaker. So here's Jesus, and he's there. And it says, many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. So this was like a who's who of everyone who was not well-liked in the land. These were tax collectors and probably some loan sharks, maybe some women of the night. These were not, no, the fine-outstanding citizens. This was a rough bunch. They weren't necessarily outcasts in the sense that they weren't doing well for themselves. They were doing really well. But they were not well-liked by anyone because of the lifestyle and the careers they've chosen. And so here they are, a whole house full of them, Jesus eating with them. And then the Pharisees and the religious leaders complained to Jesus' disciples. Now, I think it's interesting. They didn't complain to Jesus, but they complained to his disciples. In other words, they went to Peter and Andrew and James and John, and as it says, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Now, why do you eat with these tax collectors and sinners? And it's kind of funny because they're asking that question to disciples, but look who answers the question for them. Jesus overhears this conversation and answers the question. And he gives an analogy. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So Jesus says, well, look this way. I'm a doctor and I make some house calls. Now, that verse kind of hit me hard this week because on Monday, I snuck away from Central and went down the Fast Pace and gave them my cards and found a piece of paper. And then about 45 minutes later, they called me back up, charged me $45, and said, okay, well, we can get you in about 2 hours. I thought, well, I'm going back to Central then. Went back to Central, came back, and it is time just quickly because I didn't have to wait too long. Got in there, and one of my former students took my blood pressure, checked my heart and all that good stuff, and said, man, your blood pressure is great, Mr. Womack, you know, and your heart sounds great. Yeah. I thought that's always good to hear. And then the doctor came in. And the doctor, he kind of amused me because he said, well, said, you probably got COVID, so there's nothing I can do for you. And I said, doctor, I don't have COVID. I'm fine. I feel healthy. My throat, though, is killing me. I didn't say it like that, Herbie. It's more like a growl, like, my throat is killing me. There was something about it. He goes, well, I said, do you want me to prescribe some medicine for your throat? I'm like, yes. No. And he said, well, it probably won't do you any good, but I'm going to give you some. No. And I just want to say, just do what you used to do back in 2019 BC before COVID when folks came in here. Okay? You gave him a prescription for medicine. I thought, the whole reason I'm here is I want that prescription sent down to CVS. When I leave school, I can go pick it up. And guess what? I got my medicine CVS that night, took the first dose of it that night. Next morning, I thought, well, I feel a little bit better. See, I was sick, and I needed a doctor. Now, if you weren't sick, you wouldn't need a doctor. That's just common sense. Jesus told the religious crowd, listen, I'm Dr. Jesus. I've come to heal folks. And these folks are spiritually sick. They haven't been to the synagogue. They've been away from God's people. And they're not going to come to the synagogue and be with you, so I got to go out to them and make some house visits. And he said, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. Notice how he said that. I have not come to call those who think they are righteous. In other words, Jesus is saying, actually, Pharisees, you need a house call too. But you know, you can't help someone that's sick and don't think they're sick, can you? That'd be like last week. My voice went out and I couldn't speak. And someone said, Mr. Walton, you need to go see the doctor. I'm fine. You think, well, no, you're not. You need to see a doctor. But as long as I keep saying I'm fine, I'm not going to do anything. And that's how these Pharisees and religious leaders were. It's almost like they had just enough of God's word to know a little bit about it, but not enough to get the full dose. He said, I have not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. In other words, he said, no, Levi and his buddies, they know they're not in right standing. They know they're in trouble. They're not going on to act. They know, if you talk to them, yeah, I really shouldn't be doing what I've been doing. No. Isn't that strange how sometimes you don't have to tell somebody they're a sinner? They already know it. But you need to tell them how they can get away from that. And so here we got two very different circumstances. On one hand, you got Simon Peter. He thought he was in good shape. But then when he sees that catch of fish, he says, oh, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You need to get away from me. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be collecting fishing for people. And then Levi, on the other hand, his attitude was, well, I know I'm a sinner, but no, do you mind coming eating with me? And he said, well, sure. He says, because I've not come to call those who think they're righteous. I've come and call those who know they were sinners and call them to repentance. And it's interesting in this story that we got named Simon and Levi. You know, Simon later on, Jesus gives him a new name of Peter. Peter means rock. And when you read the letter of 1 Peter, he goes in more detail about how Jesus is that foundation's rock, that cornerstone. And we are living stones built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then Levi, I think Jesus gave him another name because in their Gospels, he doesn't go by Levi. He goes by the name of Matthew. Matthew means God's gift. In other words, Levi, quit thinking you're nobody, that you're just a sinner. You're a gift. Well, how am I going to be a gift? Well, you don't know this yet, but some years down the road, you're going to cross paths with some Jewish guy, and he's going to say, no, I've been working on this biography about Jesus, and you know any good stories about him? Well, actually, I know several stories. What you got there? I say, well, let me tell you some more about him. And by the way, did you hear the story about the time these three wise men came by and paid him a visit? No. Matthew didn't know it, but he would play a part in the Gospel of Matthew, wouldn't he? Now, we don't know all the details, but somehow he has some connection with this Gospel, writing it. And it's interesting, when you read Matthew's Gospel, there's a lot of references to money and wealth. I wonder why. It would make sense, wouldn't it, if you were a tax collector and you had a heart of greed, collecting money, and you met Jesus, and those stories about greed and wealth, and about how a man cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve both God and money, how that really would affect you, that when you wrote your gospel or helped co-write a gospel, you would emphasize that. That's what spoke to your heart. And so this morning, I just want you to reflect on how, you know, when we come to be Jesus' disciples, we may come different ways. Simon Peter, he was growing up in the church. And then one day he said, I need to follow Jesus. Now, he was in that boat. He could tell you the time, tell you the place. He was in that boat. Levi, a tax collector, he grew up in church, started in the synagogue, but then he wandered away. He got away from it. Got cut off from God's people. But guess what, though? Jesus came to him. Levi, follow me. Now, hearing a little bit, we got a song called "Lord, I'm Coming Home," by how I wandered away, far away from the paths of God. But Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin no longer I trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And the fact is, it really doesn't matter whether you grew up in the church and left, you grew up in the church and kind of hanged out, or you didn't go to church at all. Your parents didn't even believe in the Bible and Jesus. It doesn't matter where you start off in this life. Today, everybody can be a follower of Jesus. When you hear his words and he says, come, follow me, that's his invitation to be his disciple. And it doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. You won't make mistakes. Matthew, I'm sure, made his mistakes. Peter, we know he made lots of mistakes. It doesn't matter. Jesus didn't get caught by surprise. Jesus called these men because he wanted these men to follow him to help set about his kingdom here on earth. And so my question for you this morning is, no, are we following Jesus? Have we left our nets? Have we left our tax booth? Or are we like, well, maybe next week, Jesus, I'll get back with you. But no, this is fishing season right now, you know. Or, well, Jesus, no, after April 15th, I'll come after I do my taxes and come join you. No, when Jesus says, come and follow me, we need to do it right then, right there, right now. Come, follow me, and be fishers of men. Thanks be to God. Amen.